You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Well, hello and welcome to William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast for Monday, October the 9th. A look ahead to the action at Pontefract, Salisbury, Windsor, Musselburgh and Kempton, which you can hear live on William Hill's Racing Radio from 1:45pm. Gordon Brown, Andy Holding and John Budden are in the hot seats to take you through all of Monday's action, previews and selections for all the races on those cards. But for now, on the podcast, my name's John Gibby and I'm joined by Alistair Jones. Alistair, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Excellent. Right, well, we're going to start off look ahead to Monday's action by hearing your nap and next best selection. So your nap, Alistair, where does that run?
Both run at Windsor. The nap is in the 5:15. It's an amateur rider's handicap, which wouldn't normally be the your typical betting medium for a best bet. But there's a horse running here, number three, called Natini, who I think's got exceptional claims. Malcolm Saunders, who is a trainer in really good form at the minute. All his horses are running well, and he had a high-profile handicap winner at Newmarket on Saturday. He's taken the trouble to book Simon Walker for Natini, and it's no great surprise, really, because this horse has yet to probably recapture its very best Irish form since joining Saunders, but last time out was a major step in the right direction when second off the same mark at Bath. That was over a shorter trip and extended 5.5 furlongs there on soft ground, but a lot of his superior Irish form was over further, so if anything the step up to six on Monday will definitely benefit from this horse. And even though, you know, he's a 13 race maiden and he's drawn in stall 10, which if the ground continues to dry out wouldn't be absolutely ideal, but I just think this horse has got enough in hand to, you know, to go very close regardless of that potential negative. He was only beaten a half a length last time, as I said, behind a good horse and for the grade anyway, and off the same mark I think he's got major claims.
He's been beaten only half a length last time out on soft ground. Good to soft the going forecast for Windsor on Monday. Do you think he's a horse that could do with a bit of dig?
I think he's fine on anything, to be honest, but the ground was, as you said, soft at Bath. I think it's not going to dry out that much this time of year at Windsor. I think it'll be good to soft. At the very, very worst, it's going to be good to soft in places, and that will be fine.
So Natini, the nap selection for Alistair on Windsor. 5:15 on Monday. And what about the next best? You said it also ran at Windsor. Which race does that come in?
Yeah, that's in the previous race, the 4:45. And interesting horse here, the top weight called Breddon, trained by Linda Jewell. He may be a seven-year-old, this horse, but he's not had a lot of racing at all. Formerly with John Gosden, for whom he won three times. That was back in 2013, so he's not seen a lot of racing since then. But I was really taken by this horse at Newbury last time. He won over a mile and a quarter on good ground. He absolutely tanked through the race. He got no cover, and yet, despite this, he still won well. He's only gone up £3. I've got absolutely no doubt that this horse has turned a corner. He's got a lot of back class, and I was really taken with that performance last time out. And he's got top weight here, but I think he's definitely got the class to overcome that. I think Breddon is a really interesting contender in that 4:45.
Yeah, it's interesting to see the, as you mentioned, hasn't had much racing. I mean, big gaps in his career when trained by Gosden's off the track for almost 2 years, and then another break of 2 years when transferring to this yard. Do you think, for you, does that mean there could be more to come from this horse in relation to some of the more exposed contenders in the race?
I think so, yeah. For a seven-year-old, he's not certainly not fully exposed. And as I said, that Newbury performance last time out can definitely be upgraded, because he wasn't drawn great. He didn't get a lot of cover. As a result of that, he was way too keen. I mean, it says plenty for this horse's natural ability that he actually still got the job done. So I think, he's got off very lightly with a £3 rise. I think he could have probably been going up £10 and still been competitive. So I think he's well handicapped.
Reading in the 4:45 at Windsor, the next best selection of Alistair on Monday then. So we've had a look at Monday, but now let's come back to look at the top class racing which took place on Saturday. And, well, I don't know about you, but for me, sometimes it's easy to forget that we did actually have a Group 1 race on Saturday. The Sun Chariot, not one of the better renowned Group 1s of the year, but we have had an interesting renewal here, and it's been won by Aidan O'Brien with Roly Poly.
Yeah, it didn't feel like a Group 1, did it? It was all a bit underwhelming, I guess. But a Group 1 it was, and of course Roly Poly was winning at the highest level for the third time this year, which is pretty remarkable, because I think this horse is... I think when we look back, we're not going to be comparing Roly Poly with the likes of Enable, you know, in terms of Group 1 honours. But to have won three, we should be. I mean, she should be an absolute superstar. I just think she's been incredibly fortunate. I don't think the Falmouth was a great renewal. Then she won in France, was given a very good ride. And even yesterday, there's no way she was the best horse in the race. And yet, for some reason, a lot of the jockeys seemed to leave their brains in the weighing room yesterday. The place to be was always up the stands rail and handy. Usherette was, I think, finished fourth. Was I don't know what the jockey was thinking of, because he just could not possibly come from off the pace at Newmarket yesterday. Roly Poly had a bad draw. Ryan Moore, being, you know, the man he is, kept things simple. I think he picked up a two-day ban, actually, for coming over a little early from that wide draw, but that basically won him the race. So it was, it's a small price to pay for winning a Group 1. And she got the job done. But as I said, for me, she wasn't the best horse in the race. But, you know, the best horses don't always win. It's often down to track position, draw bias and jockeyship. And that's why Roly Poly gained her third top-level success of the year.
You've mentioned she's won three Group 1s this year. She's also gone within a short head of winning a Group 1 at 2 last year as well. Do you think this is just good placing by Aidan O'Brien and the Coolmore Associates in terms of getting these top-notch races onto her CV? Or do you think maybe there is a risk of underrating her?
Oh, I think, yeah, it's easy to underrate her. I mean, end of the day, she's tough as nails. And there's nothing not to like about her profile. I mean, she's won 6 out of her 16 starts and has been banging ahead against, you know, she's not been taking it lightly. You know, how many she's running multiple Group 1 races. I mean, there's a lot to like. I just think that... to a certain extent, she has dropped lucky with the way those Group 1s have fallen this year. You know, she was just given the best ride yesterday, and that's what won her the race. And it was a similar story in the Falmouth and in the Group 1 at Deauville. But end of the day, Connections won't care a jot. You know, she's going to go to the paddocks as a multiple Group 1 winner. And that's all that counts. As I say, there's no pictures on a golf scorecard, is there? You know, and at the end of the day, you look back at this filly and she's got a multiple Group 1 honours, and that's all that matters. It doesn't matter how she did it. The fact that it's there, and that's all that counts when it comes to, with regards to her value at the paddocks.
You mentioned Usherette already. She's had a storming season last year before things went slightly off course. And do you think she's just not running at the same level as what she did in her pomp?
I don't know. I think she had a bit of a blip this season, but I thought yesterday she could easily have won that race on another day, and we're talking about a Group 1, and also she's only beaten a length in a Group 2 at Royal Ascot, of course, behind Kemar, and was incredibly unfortunate that day as well. I mean, she is a hostage to good fortune, it has to be said, and she's probably not won as often. Well, saying that, she did win a number of times last year. It's just been a frustrating campaign. It wouldn't surprise me if André Farb took her to the Breeders' Cup. And maybe for the mile, and she wouldn't be without a hope. If she gets a bit of luck held up, they go pretty quick there normally, and if she got the brakes, she could be a lively one.
I want to put a mention for Dawn of Hope as well, who's 66-1 outsider for this race. Tried to go with the eventual winner early, and has actually run an absolute stormer back in fifth eventually.
Yeah, she was a good horse to be. She was too big at 66-1, I guess, in hindsight, but again, she was one who was totally favoured by the way that race panned out. You know, Colmer, I don't know who did an excellent job. He grabbed the rail, and it's a very simple equation at Newmarket on the Rowley Mile at the minute, when the ground is as it was on Saturday. You just want to be near to the stands rail and up with the pace, and you can outrun your odds if you do that. So he kept things simple. I mean, I think she was flattered to finish as close as she did, but it was a good run. Yeah.
Anything else to mention a little bit further down the field? We've got the likes of Al Jazzy, who was being talked up by some for the race that's finished in ninth.
Yeah, it was a big step up for her. I wasn't mad on her beforehand, to be honest. That Sandown race, it was a very different assignment to what yesterday's was. As I said, I thought the horse to take out of it was Usherette. I thought she was unlucky.
Well, that was the Group 1 Sun Chariot Stakes taking place at Newmarket on Saturday. But there was also some top class racing at Ascot as well. And we saw the return to action of Blue Point, of course, a top sprinter who we haven't heard much of, actually, in the sort of the second half of the summer. Made his return in the Group 3 Bengal Stakes at Ascot on Saturday. He's won at even money starting price in the end here, Alistair, but in the closing stages, it looked like he was risking throwing it away.
Possibly. I thought he was hugely impressive yesterday, and was you can upgrade that. For me, he was 5 lengths superior to anything else in the race. He's been given a very positive ride on good to soft ground. I mean, he's had them literally cooked from halfway. I think it's perfectly understandable that he tired late on. You know, it's a stiff finish at Ascot, and had he maintained that, the speed he was going throughout, he'd be an absolute superstar. I thought it was an incredibly taking run. It was a similar performance to it, you know, to the Sprint Cup at Haydock the run before, when he just went off, you know, in hindsight, way too fast, really, on the heavy ground. He didn't have a cat and else chance of getting home under those conditions. He got away with it yesterday under less taxing conditions, and obviously, you know, relegated to Group 3 level. You know, no wonder he was even money. I mean, he was essentially a Group 1 horse running in a Group 3, and he was always going to take the world a beat, and I think he's a serious horse to look forward to next year. And as we were talking about yesterday during the show, you know, it wouldn't surprise us at all should they go 5 furlongs with him next year, because he's literally got speed to burn. Goes well at Ascot. I think he's got King Stand written all over him. Obviously, I guess they'll try and keep Blue Point and Harry Angel apart, should they keep them in training. And you'd think one would go for the King Stand and the other would go for the Diamond Jubilee next year at Ascot, you know, but obviously we're talking a long way away and anything can happen between now and then. But I think Blue Point is definitely getting better, and he's a horse who's going to be, you know, bang up there with the very best sprinters around next year over 5 and 6.
You mentioned a potential drop to the minimum trip. He's travelled very strongly into the race, hasn't he? It's looked like, you know, he should be, you were talking about keeping the two of them apart. He'd probably be the one to go over the 5, would you?
Well, Harry Angels, they're both similar in that they've just got speed to burn. You know, so their running styles are fairly similar, but I think you could run, to be honest, they could do either. They could, you know, Blue Point is a Gimcrack winner, you know, an impressive Gimcrack winner over 6. He's fine at 6 furlongs. It's just, in fact, he's just, you know, he does sometimes make life difficult for himself by blazing off quite so fast. But he's also a 3-year-old who's learning his trade. Next year he might be a little more amenable to restraint, in which case, you know, they'll be fine continuing down the 6 furlong route. Either way, it's a nice problem to have, because they've got 2 top-class sprinters there who will both be as effective at 5 as they are at 6.
Anything to take from in behind the Bengal Stakes? Magical Memory, Danzino was considered the main challenger to Blue Point. It's finished 4th in the end.
Yeah, he was a victim to the way the race unfolded, really, because he's a horse who's best held. I mean, he's got a great record at Ascot, but he's a hold-up performer, essentially, and they decided to chase the pace yesterday, and that backfired. I mean, he's finished 4th in the race, and yet he's definitely better than that. The race just didn't pan out, you know, to suit him, really. Projection would be the one to take out of it. He's just a horse who doesn't win, really, as often as he should, and was grossly flattered, without question, to finish as close as he did to Blue Point.
Well, more top racing to come on William Hill's Racing Radio throughout this week, including on Monday, when the action, as I mentioned, at Pontefract, Salisbury, Windsor, Musselburgh and Kempton, live from 1:45 p.m. On the William Hill website. Make sure you join us for that. Windsor, by the way, will be your 2 clear meeting on Monday. But that's it for today's edition of the Daily Racing Podcast. Alistair, thanks very much for joining us.
Many thanks. Cheers.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.